Today I want to talk to you about the blessing of the truth. 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. The blessing of the truth. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for everyone gathered here today. I thank you for all you're doing. Thank you, Lord, for the baptisms. Thank you, Lord God, for the future of your church. Thank you for the hope and joy we possess because of who you are and what you've done in our lives. I ask you, Lord, to speak through your word today, and may our hearts be challenged. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from him and declare to you. God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. Let's just stop right there just for a moment. So what happens if we claim to know God and still live in darkness and claim to know God? What's he say we're doing? Lying. You have become deceived, thinking you are doing one thing, but in reality, you belong to another. Thinking, here's the danger of that, thinking you belong to the kingdom of light while still living in darkness. Because there's something that happens when you know light. There's something that happens when you and I participate in truth. Here it is. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. See, our call is to walk in truth. You and I don't have a... If you are a believer today, there is no question about, well, should I... You are called to live and to walk in truth. Now, when you live and walk in truth, it means this. You speak the truth in love. It means that you pattern your life's style after the truth you know through his word. That you honor the word, the truth through your life because of who he is and what he's done in your life. Amen? Yeah. You see, you can't walk in the truth and darkness at the same time. Matter of fact, the scripture calls this a divided heart. In Psalm 86, verse 11, teach me your way, O Lord, the psalmist cried, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. Yeah. I don't know about you, but when I was first saved, there were moments in my life when I wanted to do this, and I ended up doing this. You know, I wanted to do this good thing. I wanted to do this right thing, and I ended up doing this dumb old thing from the past. And it took a little time for me to get past the stuff I was in the habit of doing to the things that God had called me to do, because I was a person called to be and to be a person of truth and to walk in the truth. Amen? Yeah. So we have to have our heart molded and fashioned toward this truth that he calls us to. And then he says this, your walking in truth is displayed, 1 John says. Displayed by how? Our fellowship with God. Don't you glad that you have fellowship with God? And how is that fellowship with God exhibited, displayed? Number one, we have the privilege to gather together to worship him. And that's a part of our fellowship with God. We have this ability to communicate with God continually. I hope you find a habit in your life to pray to God, to talk to God when you're walking down the road, when you're in the shower, when you're doing all kinds of stuff. You're praising God. You're thinking about God. You're meditating on God. There's a lot of fellowship that can happen in the minutes of a day. And that's what God has called us to be. We have fellowship with God. The other thing we have is fellowship. We have fellowship with other believers. I can honestly say I'm glad to know every one of you. Amen? Matter of fact, I want to know all your friends. Huh? You should have brought someone else to church today. Look at your neighbor and tell them that. You should have brought somebody else to church today. Yeah. Amen? Why? Because we have fellowship with God. We want to fellowship with one another. It's just the natural thing that transpires. You see, walking in the light or the truth seals our redemption from all sins. Matter of fact, Jesus put it this way, or John put it this way, for the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Here's the beauty about coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. His blood covers us and cleanses us from every sin. And then he works on us so that the sin doesn't entangle us anymore. And that's very important, that this progression of righteousness continue in our lives so that we know what it is to walk pure before him because we've chosen to walk in truth. Amen? Yeah. And that's what he tells us to do. Now, the truth is this, there is a time coming when men will not endure the truth. They'd rather live the lie. They'd rather believe the lie. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, it says this, for the time will come when people will not endure sound doctrine, but they will gather to themselves teachers in accordance with their own desires, having itching ears, they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn to myths. What's that mean? When everybody else is going this way, we're going this way. When everybody else is having their ears tickled, we want to know the truth even when it hurts. Because we want to walk in the truth. Because we know walking in the truth pleases him. Walking in the truth creates fellowship with him in a grander, in a better way. Because here's the deal. The more I know about God, the more I know I don't know about God. Amen? Yeah. You see, here's what I know. They want to tickle their ears and move and because their ears, they want to hear the newest and fattest and greatest thing. In reality, rebellion always leads to separation from God. When I choose to not walk in the truth, it always separates me from God and other believers. And sometimes my separation from God shows up by not wanting to be in church. Because, you know, there's a bunch of hypocrites in this place. And we begin to convince ourselves that rebellion is okay. Let me just tell you how this works. Let's go way back. Let's do way back into the Old Testament. You know, King Solomon, it's a blast from the past, okay? Solomon has died, and his successor is Rehoboam. He's chosen. And Rehoboam says, I wonder how I should reign. So he calls the elders together. He says, gentlemen, how do you think I should do this reigning thing? And the elders say, God has made you servant of the people, and you should make it easy on the people and reduce their taxes. Thank you, Jesus. And your father's hand was very heavy upon the people, and you need to release that. Listen to what it says. Listen to what it says in 1 Kings 12:8. But Rehoboam rejected the advice of the elders and gave him and consulted with the young men who had grown up with him and were serving him. He rebelled against, he rejected against the advice of the elders. In verse 18, he goes on to say, 1 Kings 12:18, then King Rehoboam sent out Adoniram. Do you have that same trouble when you're reading those names in the Old Testament? Yeah, okay, so don't be so hard on me. Here's what happened. The young guys came in, oh, you ought to let them know that you're big and you're bad and you're better than your dad and you're going to be harder on your dad. You put a big weight upon their necks and you make it difficult. You tax them double. You make them say to them, my father was heavy. You're going to know heavy when I get done. And it split the nation. Can I tell you, rebellion always creates division. Division. Yeah. Sometimes things come along and God is trying to teach you the gift of submission. You don't like what your boss is doing. You think it's crazy what your boss is doing. And God's trying to teach you the gift of submission. We all need the gift of submission. Yeah. So Rehoboam thinks he can get by with this and do a good thing. And him and his body guy, the guy I couldn't pronounce his name, was going up there to Israel. And what did they do? They killed the guy Rehoboam was with. And Rehoboam barely escapes with his life because Israel didn't want to live the way he wanted them to live, taking all their stuff from their hand, which eventually split the nation. Yeah. And what happens, the nation of Israel under Jeroboam, they decide, well, you know, we can't go to Jerusalem to worship, so we're going to set up our own idols. So look at this. Rebellion against man created rebellion against man, and now they're rebelling against God. Rebellion always begets rebellion. And you know what the Bible says rebellion is? Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Because it's contrary to what? Truth. It's contrary to what? The life God wants us to live. Where did that all begin? It's a terrible point in Israel's history. Where did it all begin? It really began with Solomon, who married and married and married. And before long, to accommodate all his brides, he had to set up idolatry in the nation. And isn't it sad that when he died, the offspring of his heart divided a nation, which was a reflection of his own heart divided in worship to God. Rebellion begets rebellion. And sometimes God is trying to give us the gift of submission. You ever had that moment when you knew you had to do something you didn't want to do? That you knew you had to do it because you were committed to doing the truth? What are you talking about, Pastor Larry? I'm talking about when that dear sister, brother, saint comes and says something, and then they lie to you, and then they cheat you, and then God says, forgive them. Now you have an opportunity to live out a gift of submission and live out the truth, or you can bow up and rebel. And before you know it, that rebellion will require something of you. That rebellion will require separation. I don't want to be with them. I don't want to be in their company. I don't want to do anything. Can I tell you, rebelling against the truth of God's word always brings disunity. Always. We say we love God's word, and then he puts someone in our life we have to forgive. The test. We say we love God's word, the truth, and then we read that part about tithing. We say we got love God's word, and then one of our kids go crazy. This is what I know about the word. Sometimes the word reveals things in my heart that I don't like. And then I have a choice. I can rebel against that what am I trying to say? Yeah, that's a technique I use so you'll remember. He'll reveal things to your heart, and then you have a choice to deal with that revelation. Did you get it that time? I'm working on you. Now you have a choice. Do I live out the truth? It's painful. It's hard. It goes against my flesh. Goes against what I deserve. Or do I submit to the truth? Can I tell you, it's not easy. It's hard. The truth is not some plastic thing we play around with. It's something God calls us to live out in relationship with Him and with one another. But I know He reveals things about my heart, my life, so that He can cleanse it out of me. He reveals things about my heart, my life, so that He can heal things about me. Because Larry needs healing. The sad person, the person that's in real trouble,
it's everybody else. They're the rotten ones. They're the ugly ones. They're the hypocrites. They.
No, there's something that happens when you honestly look at the truth, and it becomes a reflection of what's in your heart. And I'm going to tell you, when God reveals that, He's there to heal that in your life. I know this too, that when He reveals things like that to my life, I know He reveals it to bless me. There's something powerful in the blessing of obedience. That when you pick up the towel and you wash the feet of those you walk with, oh, we don't actually wash their feet, but we do that day in and day out when we choose to live in truth and be servants one to another and don't expect service in return. Rebellion. It's what Lucifer did. It's got to be thrown out of heaven. It's what Adam and Eve did. And since we have received their DNA, it's what we're good at. Now, here's the deal. We don't do out and out in your face rebellion. We kind of are subtle in our rebellion. See, my rebellion, I don't know about your rebellion, but my rebellion always has a reason. My parents taught me to do this. They hurt me. They lied to me. I can't afford that right now. Do you notice the statements? Me, and me. I, and I. Jesus put it this way. Deny yourself and follow me. Jesus said, I think He knew something about us. The reality of what really walking in the truth is all about. He said, follow me. Do you know what following is? It's the pathway of submission. Following Him, letting Him direct the step, letting Him lead the way, letting Him command the center of our heart. Follow me. Don't miss the first part of that. Deny yourself. To follow Him means we deny our place, our privilege, our... You know, after all, we're so, so special. Hmm. going to tell you, it's the subtle rebellion that'll get you. In your face, rebellion is. It's the subtleness. The craftiness of our minds. I think it happened to David. All the kings had gone to war, but David stayed home. And there's Bathsheba. Looking good. All naked and everything. And he devises a scheme. He kills her husband. Involves so many people. In the entrapment of deception and rebellion. Aren't you glad that's not the end of the story? I'm glad it's not the end of the story. Because David prays a prayer in Psalm 51, and we have it in Scripture. Listen to, I know, for I know my transgressions and my sins are always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Verse 5, surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in the secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be cleansed. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Can I tell you, rebellion will always crush you. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God. And renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. I find that an amazing prayer of a man who caught himself in the clutches of his own self-made mess. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. You remember the first king? King Saul was his name. He was head and shoulder above everybody else. He looked the part. He had it all together. He was handsome and he was unbelievable in his appearance. And God said, Samuel went and anointed him king and he prophesied. The Spirit of God came upon him. And Saul didn't last very long because he wanted to do it his way and wouldn't wait on God. And the Scripture says this, and the Spirit of God left Saul. David witnessed that. Because what happened to the king Saul was this. He became crazy. And David, after he's anointed king, is the guy that God selects to go sit in the throne room playing a harp to soothe the madness of a king. David knew what it was for the Spirit of God to leave a man. He watched it in King Saul, and now his cry before God is, take not your spirit from me. Don't let it happen to me. Cleanse me before it's too late. Forgive me. In that place of humility, did something in the heart of David that God has to do in all of us over and over and over again. Because listen, we can all be subtly rebellious. and miss the way of truth and justify missing the way of truth. And the end result is our hearts get hard. We get selfish. And we separate. Stand with me, would you? Worship guys can come back to the platform. I want you to listen to me. A couple weeks ago, we were at district council, and it was amazing. There was some great preaching, some amazing wisdom coming forth from the platform, great worship and all that. And nothing moved my heart . I was so comfortable with the routine and all the stuff going on, and I didn't like it. I didn't like the fact that I could worship with words and it not move me. I didn't like the fact that I could hear the truth and say amen and my heart was not soft. So on the last night, I'm walking on, because it was Monday night. My sister was in the thing, and I was walking across to see my sister at the end of the service, and I bumped into the guy. I didn't really mean to bump into him. He just was there, and I ran into him. And I was going to see my sister. And the Holy Spirit whispered to me, pray for him. Whew. It's not what I want to do. I had no intention of doing this. Grabbed my arm around him, and I began to pray for him. I didn't feel a thing. But I knew God wanted me to pray for him, and I was praying for him. And after I got through praying, he was crying. And I just let him be in his presence, and I went and greeted my sister, and I bumped into him later, and he says, you know, I just want you to know something. I was standing there all alone. I was standing there in that moment, and I said to myself, God, I need something, but I'm not going down there where everybody else is. I need something done in my life, you're going to have to send somebody to me. And God allowed me to accidentally bump into him because of the cry of his heart, which melted my heart. I don't know what you got going on in your life, but I know we got to be men and women of truth even when it hurts. Pay attention to what's going on in your heart. Don't be satisfied with church as routine. It's another worship song. Move me, God. Change me, God. Do something in me, God. Don't leave me the same. Take not your presence from me, nor your Holy Spirit, God. I want to know it. I want to be a person who knows what it is to be touched by a living God. Not once, but continually. Over and over. Over and over. Join hands with the person next to you. Would you do that? you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Larry, I need God to do something in my heart. I need God to do something in my heart. I don't know what that is. Maybe you do. Would you just squeeze the hand of that person next to you right now? Would you just squeeze the hand of that person? I need God to do something in my heart. Just squeeze it. Not hard. Because listen, we don't walk alone. There's power in praying one for another. It's part of this fellowship we have. It's part of this fellowship with God that's demonstrated to the world that we know how to forgive. We know how to be merciful and full of grace. We know what it is to walk in truth. And I need God to do something in my heart. Now, if you squeezed somebody's hand and somebody felt that, would you just raise that hand up? Both of you together. Join them. Wow. I want you to just look around just for a moment. You know what that is? That's the power of walking in truth. That's the power of fellowship in God. That's the power of fellowship one with another. Now you put that hand back down. I want you to just right now just... let's covet our hearts together right now just to pray one for another right now. Would you just do that?